The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
Do you know that there's a war that started thousands of years ago that is still going on today, and that never had a ceasefire since its beginning? I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you each week over this station at this time. Let us pray. Our Father, of light and truth and holiness, we pray for thy inspiration and anointing for the declaration of thy sacred word. In Jesus' name, amen. We are today in our continuing study of the book of Exodus, and we shall enter the seventh chapter of that book today. In Exodus 7, we have the beginning of the greatest display of fireworks in all of the Old Testament since the creation story. If you look for the two most powerful, miraculous manifestations of God in the Old Testament, you find the first one in the creation story in Genesis, and the second one in Exodus in the 10 great plagues that God brought upon the Egyptians in the process of delivering the Jewish people out of that nation. Now, I shall not spend much time on these 10 miracles in the coming days, but I shall give you a good introduction to these miracles of our Lord. I have three issues that I will bring before you in this broadcast. The first one is, why did Pharaoh not destroy Moses? The second one is, why did God harden the heart of Pharaoh? And thirdly, I want to bring to your attention that God in Exodus 7 raises the curtain on spiritual warfare, on a warfare without ceasefire till the end of time. Now let me get to point one. Why did Pharaoh, this mighty ruler of the Egyptian Empire, not destroy the stranger Moses, who came out of the wilderness just with a stick, who did not even have a local address in Goshen, where all the Hebrews lived in the land of Egypt? He did not even represent the Hebrew people. They did not vote him in. And by the time he said a few words, they did not want him to be their leader. Why did not Pharaoh, this mighty king, simply tell one of his servants to run a sword through Moses and be done with it? It looks as if Pharaoh, had he done that, the Hebrew people would have done nothing to protest. In fact, they might have been glad that their self-appointed leader, the one who caused them now to have to find their straw, which was supplied beforehand to make bricks, the one who made life harder for them. So why did Pharaoh just simply not kill Moses? My friend, the reason for this is that God had made Moses as a god to Pharaoh. You know, you don't kill gods or supernatural forces. You can't destroy gods. You can only defeat gods. If you had a bigger or better god or supernatural forces, then you could destroy the weaker ones. So our text in Exodus 7 begins like this. We're at the beginning now of this great warfare that eventually led to the Exodus. It says there, "And the Lord said to Moses, See, I've made thee a god unto Pharaoh." And of course, you'll agree with me that Moses took a shepherd's rod and cast it onto the ground, and the rod became a living serpent. And then Moses lifted his shepherd's rod and smote the Nile River, and the whole Nile River turned into blood. And then Moses stretched his rod to the north, south, east, and west, and pointed in all directions, and then all the ponds and rivers of Egypt turned into blood. Our text says that God made Moses a god unto Pharaoh. Friends, yes, indeed, Pharaoh soon realized that indeed God had made Moses a god. Only gods can do the supernatural. And so Pharaoh realized that this was not a battle of flesh and blood versus flesh and blood, but this was a battle of spiritual forces being at work. And so he called upon his spiritual forces, he called upon his magicians and sorcerers to duplicate these miracles. So actually what we have in the book of Exodus, beginning with chapter 1, we have the battle of the gods. And this reminds us of the text of the Apostle Paul, where he says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places." So, my friend, now you know why Pharaoh did not destroy Moses, because Moses was not a man to him. Moses was a God to him. Again, the text we have for that is in Exodus 7, verse 1. The Lord said unto Moses, "See, I've made thee a god unto Pharaoh." Now, don't get me wrong here. Moses did not become a god to God, but only a god to Pharaoh. The second question I want to deal with is, why did God harden Pharaoh's heart? In this passage of the 10 plagues that God did in Egypt, you find almost a consistent refrain, it seems, of this little phrase, "And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart." The reason why I bring this to your attention is because some people believe that God denied Pharaoh freedom of choice. In other words, Pharaoh did not have a chance to be saved because God hardened his heart. And so, if that is the case, then there are probably thousands of people in the world today whose heart God has hardened, and so they have no chance to be saved. They have no freedom over their own destiny. And there's a lot of theology that has been spun around this, quote, "Pharaoh hardened his heart," unquote, phrase. I do not consider myself to answer all the theological questions, but let me give you my observations. God allows each man freedom of choice. He lets each man's actions run their course. I want you to know that God did not harden Pharaoh's heart till much later in the story, after Pharaoh had done all kinds of evil things to the people of God. Now let me give you some of these references very quickly. Exodus 1 verse 11. "Therefore Pharaoh set over them," that is the Hebrew people, "taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens." Now did God harden Pharaoh's heart when he made God's people slaves? The answer is no. Then you go on to the 13th verse. It says, "And the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor." Did God harden Pharaoh's heart at this time? No. And then the next verse is, "And they made their lives bitter and with hard bondage in mortar and in brick." Did God harden Pharaoh's heart at this point? The answer is no. These decisions of Pharaoh towards children of God were all decisions of free choice of the king of the Egyptians. And then we read towards the end of the first chapter of Exodus that Pharaoh commanded that all sons born to the Hebrews were to be killed, were to be thrown into the Nile River. And here you have the first Holocaust in the history of the Jewish people. Did, let me ask you, God harden Pharaoh's heart at this point? The answer is an astounding no. Should he have? Could he have? Perhaps some of you say yes. This was the time to harden Pharaoh's heart. But no, God did not do it yet. It is amazing to me how long-suffering our God really is. And then we go on to Exodus 5, how the Egyptians no longer provided straw for the Hebrews to make bricks, but how the Hebrews had to gather their own straw in the fields and produce the same amount of bricks that they had produced before when their straw was supplied. Did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Then the answer is still no. So I want to bring to your attention, my friend, that Pharaoh had all the freedom of choice anybody else has who's born into this world. That God's wheels of judgment move very slowly, but when they move, they also move very surely. But there was a time when Pharaoh's cup of iniquity was full and overrunning in the area of obstinacy, in the area of wickedness, cruelty, injustice, stubbornness, and rebellion. And it is then, when Pharaoh had reached the point of no return, that God hardened his heart in his righteous judgment. My friend, there's a point of no return. King Saul reached it, and he was unable to repent once he crossed that point of no return. And so did Judas the apostle. And even when God hardened the heart of Pharaoh, he had nothing in mind but the salvation of lost souls. He hardened Pharaoh's heart in order to extend the miracles so that by the time he would be done with these great miracles, that all the Egyptians would believe and know that he is the Lord God, and that they would be able to turn to him and to worship him forever. And this purpose of these 10 plagues was brought out in Exodus 7 verse 5, where it says, "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Praise the Lord. My friend, don't you fuss with God and don't you fuss at God. Not only, as we read from other passages in Exodus, did God do these 10 plagues, these mighty miracles, that Egypt may know that our Lord is the only true God. Not only did he do that for Egypt, but for the whole world to know that he is the Lord our God and there's none beside him. Now, having answered these two questions, why did God not kill Moses and why did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Let me deal with the third one. I'll have to be quick with that one. Here in Exodus, God raises the curtain for us to see that there's a spiritual warfare that's going on. As I already said, this was a battle of the gods. This was a battle not between a man called Moses and another one called Pharaoh. This was not a physical warfare. This was a spiritual warfare. Because you see, embedded in this nation, in the bowels of these Hebrew people, was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. So God had to get his people out of Egypt in order to refine them and work with them and give them the revelations of God and finally bring through them the Savior of the world. This, my friend, is what the war is all about. It is about man's salvation. And this spiritual war actually began in heaven itself when Lucifer, the angel who became the devil, lifted up his finger against God, and we have been in a spiritual warfare ever since that time. There's never been a break in this war. There's never been a ceasefire. It's been going on and on and on and will continue until the devil, which is Lucifer, will be cast into the bottomless pit and time will be no more. So in closing, yes, most of the time it seems we're rather blind that there's a spiritual war that's going on continuously. We just look at the physical things, but no, there's a spiritual war, my friend, going on continuously about your soul, about your heart, about your devotion, about your priorities, about your children, about your church, about your life's calling. There's not a single moment in which the devil and the demons of hell rest without trying to deceive you as a child of God, to accuse you, to trap you, to confuse you, to weaken you, to lead you astray, to blind you to the things of God. This is a continuous warfare that's going on in your life and that of your children because, my friend, you too, if you're a Christian, have Christ in your spiritual bowels. And if you are not a Christian, the devil's trying all he can to blind you to the very thing that you're born for, to live for God, to worship him and serve him forever. So please don't say, Exodus, that's an old stuffy book. We don't need it anymore. My friend, it is the old books of the Bible that made the great apostles so great, that made saints of God out of Peter and James and John, and that fortified Jesus against the forces of evil because they did not have the New Testament. All they had was the Old Testament, and the Old Testament, my friend, made them the giants they got to be. So don't misunderstand the Old Testament. Just ask the Lord to open your understanding of the Scriptures as Jesus did it for the disciples on the road to Emmaus, where he expounded unto them concerning himself from Moses and the prophets. Now, my friend, if you don't know Jesus, would you please say this prayer after me? Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry I've sinned against you and God the Father, but I know you paid the price for my sins when you died for me on the cross. Lord Jesus, I now receive you into my heart as my Savior. Jesus, come into my heart right now as my Savior. Thank you for doing it. I shall commit myself to live for you forever. Amen. Read your Bible and find a Christian friend who will help you on the way. Father, we thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We pray that hearts will be convicted and drawn to thee in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye now until next week.